This is chapter 9 from Nice Man Cometh, a chapter entitled Ho. What can I say, Mr. Goslin? I can't live on Providence forever. By Providence, Waller meant handouts from his father. There were other sources of income, trickles, his features for the moon, the fortunes he wrote for Mr. Wing's cookies at the Chow Mein Palace. The occasional editing job that came his way, but his father, who now spent the winters in Arizona, provided about two-thirds of what he referred to as Providence.
I see.
I need a job. They sat in a large office with a panoramic view of downtown Saskatoon, two large men, one old and paunchy, the other young and hefty. Hefty, stout, big-bellied, ursine, roly-poly. The younger man's names for his body would change with the rise and fall of his self-esteem. Today he was merely Hefty, because today, by God, he was determined to join the workforce, that army of joyless mendicants who by some rare combination of energy and motivation managed to get out of bed in the morning, go to work, pay the bills. All adjectives pertaining to the size and shape of his body flowed from that proud and grim necessity.
What sort of work were you looking for?
I'll be straight with you, Mr. Goslin. My experience has not ranged very far into the mercantile.
What are you saying, Elmer?
He wanted to remind old Goslin that he no longer answered to the name of Elmer. 18 months ago, he had been newly named and newly born and went by the name of James. James Wellington Waller. Elmer Waller was dead, a thing of the past, a feckless nerd overwhelmed by his own insignificance. He wanted to tell Goslin in plain English that he had fallen on impecunious times. So any job would do for the winter, perhaps something that combined compassion with a love of metaphysics.
No, don't be ridiculous.
Goslin would sneer and pretend he didn't understand, as obviously he was doing right now. Goslin wanted James to come down to his level and belch through the Queen's English in monosyllables.
What do you do? Said Mr. Goslin.
I'm an actor by training, a reader, and a thinker, a poet, and a man of the people.
Elmer, we don't hire guys to sit on their asses and pull pud. You know that as well as I do. We hire fellas that show up, look good, and tend to business. I get openings, sure. Sometimes we need a clerk or a floor walker. Sometimes we need an accountant or whatever. Your dad and me, we go back a long ways, so I'll tell you what. I don't have no openings for a guy with no training, but I do have one job needs filling. Just come up yesterday. It's only seasonal, ends before the new year, but that gives you almost 7 weeks of straight time and a half. You work 6 days a week, take Mondays off, and it's a whole lot better than minimum wage. You start next Tuesday, no experience necessary, train on the job. Takes a special kind of person, though.
Mr. Goslin winked at him. James sat up in his chair. The one job he would not consider was a security guard. The poor son of a bitch who took this job would have to walk all day long in search of shoplifters and smoking teenagers. James would be exhausted and drowning in sweat in the first half hour. But special person did not sound like a security guard.
A special kind of person, you say?
Special kind of person, that's right, said Mr. Goslin. Patient-like.
Patient?
Yes, sirree. Good with people.
I would be talking with people, said James. He admired his own choice of words, talking with people. Most men would say talking to people, as though conversation were always a one-way street.
Hearing them out, offering advice?
Goslin nodded and frowned at precisely the same time. I'd be communicating with people, basically.
Goslin exhaled wearily. Elmer, this isn't maybe what you think.
What do you mean?
You like kids?
Waller could see that Goslin was looking at his ample belly. Oh, sweet suffering Christ. He broke out in a flop sweat and snatched his hanky from his pocket.
Again, Mr. Goslin said, do you like kids? Plain and simple.
Of course. Doesn't everybody?
Elmer, I gotta ask you another question. This is man to man. I got no choice.
In spite of the dark cloud that had gathered around Waller's temples, he knew exactly what Goslin would say. He almost replied before the question was out of Goslin's mouth. Instead, he mopped his streaming forehead and waited.
Most guys would be offended, but I gotta ask, see?
Ask away, Mr. Gosling, you fumble-mouthed, drooling wadge of adipose tissue. This is clearly your turn-on of the day. Go ahead. Does Mr. Pudgy get a hard-on whenever Elmer gets a child in his lap? More to the point, Gosling, does this little dip in the conversation give you a hard-on? Come on, you old wanker, fess up. Of the above tirade, James spoke only the first two words.
Elmer, are you a homosexual? Wait, hear me out. I got nothing against those people, you understand, but working every day with youngsters and the homosexual lifestyle, you know as well as I do, they don't go together.
Mr. Gosling, I think the word you're looking for is pedophile.
Elmer, I won't bat words with you. We're into a man who plays the piper type situation, you read me?
James began to wonder what batting words might be like. He imagined himself and Gosling in gladiatorial attire, armed with badminton rackets and swatting at epithets over a net.